Hi, my name is Jan Erik, and I recommend the Fakeologist because that's the place to get real truth and not BS.
Hello, Ivo.
Hi again. Yep.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, that's okay, thanks. Yeah, you?
Would you be so kind as to press your record button?
I'll try. Tools, start recording, yeah. And where do we go?
That would be lovely.
User, there's supposed to be a plugin for this that on the fly encodes as MP3, because they get really huge, these WAV files, WAV files. But I read somewhere.
There is a plugin for MP3, you said?
So I couldn't find it, but somebody said there was. PS3 add-ons.
I didn't know that, but it's okay that it's a WAV file, because I want to tell you how to process it. Let me tell you how to process it. It's very easy. I'm going to put this on my website at fakeologist.com/audio chat.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And what I would request you do is download a program called Levelator. It's free. Levelator? Uh-huh.
Levelator, I'll look it up. Levelator. 2-1-T, I guess. I've got it.
Yeah.
Where are we? Brings audio voices all to the same level.
Pardon me?
I'm still looking for it, hang on. I haven't actually found the download page yet. I'll look for it, yeah.
It's called Conversation Labs Levelator. Type those words. Conversation Labs Levelator.
Conversations Network.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
Not actually doing anything for some reason. It's found the website. Yeah, it's just hanging there trying to connect. Here we are. Oh, it goes to Web Archive for some reason. What's happened there?
Yeah, because the site is not active anymore, apparently.
I see. Yeah. Where are we? Last release, 1893.
1893? Wow, that's an ancient one.
For Linux, I was looking at. Download, here we are. Maybe it's just, hang on, if I can just download it from the Linux repository. Sudo apt-get. Install.
You're on Linux. I keep forgetting you're Linux.
That must be. I don't know whether the build is build number relates to the Windows one. No, can't find it. So let's try downloading it directly. Here we are. Probably something very similar, isn't there? They've ditched it, have they? Sorry.
Well, it's the one that I use. Well, Audacity, AUDACITY, is available for Linux.
Yeah, I've used that quite a bit. I've used Audacity quite a lot. Yeah.
Well, then use Audacity, because what you can do is they have a leveler that may not be quite as good as Levelator in Audacity. So what you should do, once you get this big file, import it into Audacity, and then clip it up a bit, and then export it as an MP3 at only 16 kilobits a second. That should be enough. That's enough. And that will make a very small file out of, I think it's only maybe, I'm going to say 8 megabytes an hour.
Uh-huh. But previously you said stick to 32 kilobits a second on the...
I just released last night's audio chat, and I created that at 16. I couldn't hear much difference between 16 and 32.
No.
Because there was no music. If you have music, then you should do it at 32 or 64.
Uh-huh. Okay, I've got Levelator now. There's just something wrong with it. The compressed file is corrupt, it reckons. And there then. Hang on.
Levelator is for Linux as well? Or you run Windows, whatever the Windows simulator is under Linux?
Why? No, I was just running it directly on that download page that links from Web Archive, Conversations Network/Levelator. At the very third of the way down, it says Linux. download the levelator, and there's the equivalent of a zip file called a bun zip file, you know, bzip, and it's corrupt. So let's try somewhere else. Somebody's probably got an okay copy of it. So seems to be corrupt on that website. Try another one.
Yeah.
There we are. Somebody's got one there. Ha ha ha. I don't know, it's quite old, isn't it? 2008, that build is there.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But the reason why I just wanted to get you in the habit of recording, because last night I made a small change that collapsed the recording program.
Yeah.
So apparently you were very, very good in the last 2 hours, but I didn't get to hear it.
it was just rambling away. There was some interesting stuff cropped up while we were talking. There's like this huge flood in, what was the name of that place? UCLA. And it looked really hooky footage, you know.
User
but
in your channel is recording.
Maybe not. I don't know. Hello, good day.
Banazir. Banazir has joined us.
Hi, Banazir.
He's not talking.
I can't get this to work. What's going on here then?
Banazir, how are you? Okay, that's happened. Anyway, if you're listening to this audio chat later on, we're recording it today on July 30th, 2014. This is just a drop-in center for fakeologists who want to share the day's research. So if you're interested in joining us, go Google the word TeamSpeak or go to fakeologist.com/audio chat, download TeamSpeak, and you can join us. TeamSpeak is available on all platforms, Windows,
channel timed out.
Windows, Linux, Apple iPhone, Android, and Macintosh. You can join in on the TeamSpeak. And there's Banazir. I hear him. He's got loud background noise. You're breaking up, Banazir. As you can tell, different people come in at different qualities. So, fortunately, it's still very good software. I'm very excited about TeamSpeak. I think this will be the latest in fakeologist information sharing.
I hope so. It's very instant, isn't it? And, you know, it hasn't got the same problems with the sort of whatever it is, you know, the...
Actually, Evil, your connection is rather spotty tonight. Your microphone is cutting in and out as well. You were better last night.
Maybe it needs readjusting, because it's a new headset altogether. Let me try again. Let me try setting that trigger level.
Yeah, it's clipping you off very badly as well.
Let's try that. Is that a bit better? Or?
Well, we count to 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I think that's better.
Yeah. So many things to tweak. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. There's like all these extras down at the bottom of that options page of echo reduction and such like, and echo cancellation, whatever the difference there is, I don't know.
Well, you could just have to experiment. There's a lot of settings. You just try them on and off and see which one works best.
Uh-huh. Anyway, let's try this levelator. I found another copy of it that does work. So.
Okay. Well, this is the process I use for audio repairing. And I encourage you to do the same.
Okay.
And what I would like, if possible, is if, for instance, you do a recording, what you could do is you'll have a very large WAV file from TeamSpeak, which is good because you want it to be a WAV file for Levelator. Levelator can only accept WAV files.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you'll have this large WAV file. You will then drag and drop it after running Levelator onto the Levelator screen. It's a strange program in that you run Levelator, it sits on your screen, and then you drag a file through drag and drop onto the Levelator graphic.
Right.
Okay. At which point it levels it out. It will create another file with an identical name, and it will add the word output to that file name.
Okay. I'm nearly there.
The next step is you take that output file and import it into Audacity.
Right.
Now, when it's in Audacity, you can clip it up. You can add a bumper. Uh-huh. And I'll post the bumpers on my website, so anyone who wants to use a bumper can use it, an audio bumper.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to post these instructions online because there's really too much work for me to do all these audio chats, and I think there'll be quite a few audio chats generated.
Right.
So if everyone can do their own editing, it would really save a lot of time.
Sure. That's not going to work, that levelator. It says here that it's an obsolete version of Python. Is that how it runs in Windows, with Python?
No.
No, it says it's obsolete.
Why don't you just get the Windows version and run Audacity or Levelator for Windows?
Yeah. You swear by that, don't you?
Well, it's very good, but Audacity has a levelator as well. It's not quite as good.
No.
But you can use Audacity. It's okay.
Is that the is that a sort of generic term, levelator? I'm just checking what else is in the Linux repository.
No. The term is leveling, but levelator.
Yeah.
All it does is a very nice job leveling the audio.
Uh huh.
But yeah, leveling, what that means is simply it brings the low volumes up and the high volumes down.
Right.
And that way when you're listening to something, you don't have to keep your hand on the volume button as someone is loud and as someone is faint.
No. There's people asking here, so I guess they found something similar. I just wonder what they're looking for. There's somebody asking. Leveling out volumes for audio tracks. How do I do it for Linux? There's somebody asking. Audacity they're using there. Yeah. I found that using Audacious is better than Audacity. Audacious, never heard of that one.
Is that for Linux or Windows?
Yeah, Linux. Audacious. It has similar effects to Audacity with normalizing, pop muting, and amplifying, whatever that means. Pop muting.
a pop is when you say a P and it makes a very loud noise on the audio. Popping peas. People pop their peas. And it's very difficult for speakers to handle.
They seem to be talking about Audacity there, so maybe that's the way to go there.
Yeah, normal. So when you create the... Once you level it out, or once you import this large WAV file, then export it as a 16 or 32 kilobits per second audio MP3. And then just send it to me.
Okay. Should I try it now, or let me get Audacity. This is quite a new Linux instance.
Well, that's fine. Go ahead. Just stop your recording so you have an audio file, and then start it up again, and it'll create a new audio file. So stop it and then start it up again.
Okay. Bear with me.
Yep.
Control Shift T. No, Control Shift T.
User in your channel
Control Shift
recording.
Oh.
User in your channel
there we go.
Started recording.
That was quick.
That's
okay.
Good. So now you should have a closed off file in that directory.
I'm
so
still
just
getting,
import that into Audacity.
Hang on, I'm still downloading Audacity. It's taking a while.
I thought you already had it.
This is like a new install of Linux, so it's of course it needs reinstalling again. Won't be a minute.
All right.
So this is
normal. Too bad. I was looking forward to listening to your audio last night.
Who said it was really good? We were kind of rambling, though, just going on. And Kay Hamad is there. We had an interesting chat there about the nuke mining in Australia. And
I would have liked to hear that. That would have been great.
Well, we didn't go anywhere. She seemed to be... We were wandering around the town using Google Street View, the nearby town, near one of the biggest so-called uranium mines in Australia. And we were using Google Street View to wander around this rather plush town in the middle of nowhere in the Northern Territories, is it? Northern Territory? Whatever. In the very northernmost part of Australia. And seemed to be. It seemed most implausible that there'd be a community living within, you know, a few hundred yards from a uranium mine where the dust was clearly blowing all over the place. It would, you know, would wipe them out surely. With if uranium was really as toxic as we're told, but. Anyway.
No, but well, uranium is not dangerous. They have to enrich it in the, I believe it's in their mythical cyclotron.
There was some sort of enormous, if you look at the Google aerial view, there's a very big, what they call a leaching tank, which is supposedly full of some sort of like sulfuric acid or something, and it's supposed to strip the uranium molecules or atoms out of it, you know, and then they somehow. I don't know. I didn't know how it worked, but it looks horrendously dangerous if you believe the version of events. But if it's not,
well, do you think it's just a big prop? Maybe it's just a prop. Maybe it doesn't do anything.
I wondered whether it was even there. You know, it was an aerial. Let me find it. It's called the Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, the Ranger mine, and it was the largest in the world. Although apparently they're now going underground. They've exhausted all the top, you know, accessible. Yeah, and so that, supposedly, you know, if you Google for uranium mine, there it is. It looks like absolutely enormous. But she said that, you know, there's a very tiny amount of uranium per ton of ore or whatever it is, and therefore that explains why there's such a vast operation there. But I'm kind of thinking, you know, it's just a roadstone mine or, you know, aggregate mine or a quarry, I should call it really, not a mine, a quarry, but... I don't
right.
know.
So you
don't... If they're not producing it for nuclear fuel, then I don't know what her proper name is, but Kay Hamad was saying, well, it must be used for nuclear medicine then, but surely the quantity that's actually used is minuscule for, you know, for thorium meals or whatever they, you know, whatever they use it in medicine, however they use it. But it would be tiny. You wouldn't need a quarry that, you know, the size of, I don't know, several miles across just for... the amount we use in medicine, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, I don't think they use uranium. If you look it up, they use what's called technetium, T-E-C-N-E-T-I-U-M. I think it's another mythical metal.
I don't know. We make
it in Canada. Uh-huh. It's called technetium.
So that's supposedly used in nuclear medicine, but not this.
No.
Not uranium.
I don't think uranium is, no. And also, like I said, I believe, I'm not sure, but uranium is mined, and then it's enriched, and I believe it's a cyclotron. And that's, of course, the big story with Iran. They keep wanting to build a cyclotron, and the myth goes that we keep blowing it up, or the Western intelligentsia keeps removing Iranian scientists who have anything to do with the Iranian cyclotron, because, of course, we can't let them have enriched uranium because they could use it for a nuclear bomb. But I just think that's all part of a mythological story.
Definitely, yeah. Well, there's a link in the bottom of the chat window to the Google Street View of the or Google Aerial View of the, that's supposedly the largest uranium mine in the world, or uranium quarry or whatever. It's okay. Certainly a mess.
Hey, and I did. Could you do me a favor? Just as a technical note, when you put a link in, could you just put a description in the text as to what it is? Because when people look at it later on, they don't even know what it is.
No,
just
sure.
A quick word, you know.
Sure.
Quick word about what it is.
The Ranger Mine, Australia. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. And also when you record a call, if you could just save the links in a little file with the date on it so we know what the chat lines up with what audio, that would help too.
Okay. Will do. Right, let me have a go at this. Audacity's downloaded now, so I've presumably got a file called TS3 something. There it is. And it would be 31st of July, just gone midnight over here. So let's try it.
All right.
I don't know how you...
Yeah.
Audacity.
Loaded into Audacity.
Here we go. Quick help. For that. File. Open recent ones. Oh, look, TS3. There we are. 4 minutes past midnight, that must be it. Have a go. Somewhere in there is a normalize or a levelator, is there?
Levelator. Yeah, under on the top. Oh, did you import it already?
Yeah. Now, degree of leveling, moderate, light, heavy, heaviest, heavier, etc. Noise threshold.
Yeah, I usually don't change anything because I don't really know what to change.
No, I'll just leave it at moderate then. And then export it as an MP3.
Yes, but change the bit rate to about 16, and you should get quite a small file.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you listen back and you determine that 16 is not a high enough quality, then you can up it to 32 or 24 even.
Okay. And in the actual metadata, you want people to change the artist name, track title, etc., year, date, etc., in the metadata?
Well, yeah, the most important metadata would be the track name, but anything else you could change as well, that would be fine.
Uh-huh. So if we put on here, say, Fakeologist, what do we call
it? Audio chat, yeah.
Live stream?
Well, you would just call it audio chat, and and just put audio chat and maybe put the participant's name in the title as well.
Oh, all in one place. Track title. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the main thing that displays on the players is the track title. So if you just put audio chat with Psyopticon and app, and that's enough, really. You could even put the date in there if you wanted as well.
Okay.
You can make it as long as you want, really, and it just scrolls on most people's players.
Uh-huh. 0731. Okay. So we've done that. I see. Now what else do we do? I don't see anywhere there. Oh, it's choosing what bit rate to do it at. I better stop.
Well, that's under options.
Where are we? I don't remember using this one with actually a GUI. I think the Linux one originally was just like command line.
So well, it's come a long way, I suppose.
Where are we? Under options. I don't see no options.
When you're saving it, when you get the place to put the file name, underneath the save button, I believe it's
button. Sorry, I got you. What have I done now then? Quality, take it right down to 16 or 32? 16?
Well, you can start with 16 because my audio that I'm providing is not very good quality anyway.
So you're sticking with constant bit rate or variable or whatever?
I don't know. I don't know the difference, so I can't advise you on that.
It's constant, then. That seems to be the default. Join
whatever is default.
Uh-huh. Let's see what happens here, then. Is that going to save it in MP3? It already exists. Overwrite it. Let's see what happens. Save. Where's save? There we are. Oh, dear. The project sample rate, 48,000, and the bit rate, 16 kilobits a second, combination is not supported by MP3. You must resample.
Yeah.
So resample to 24,000?
I just say okay to that. It doesn't really make a difference as far as I know.
So what do you want me to do with it? 6 seconds left. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then do you want me to email it or pop it somewhere?
Well, you don't need to email that one. You can just listen to it.
Okay.
You can just sample it back, but you can just hold on to it.
Okay.
Or you can glue these two together when we're all done.
Okay.
If you want, glue them all together. It was just an exercise to assist you in. But that's exactly what you do. You've pretty much done everything you need to do.
Doesn't sound the best of quality, but shall I pull the earphones out and you can hear it? Hang on a minute. Which one is it? That one?
No, it's okay.
Why encodes as MP3, because they get really huge, these WAV files, WAV files. But I read somewhere that says...
It's quite a small file, right?
What do you reckon? Any good? Did you hear that?
Yeah, but I can't tell from here. Only tell the quality.
It's quite low. What can I say? It doesn't sound, certainly doesn't sound as good as, you know, your live shows and whatever, your radio shows. But
don't forget, I'm not calling you on a good microphone anyway. My microphone's not good.
No.
So my end is not very good anyway, so.
No. So what do you make of that Ranger mine? What do you make of that?
I'm actually on the go right now, so I can't look at anything.
No. I compared, one thing I did was compared, was it Bing Maps with Google Maps, and there were quite considerable differences between the two parent mines, but then that perhaps is explained by changes made over time or whatever, but I don't know. I'm not persuaded at all. It's also an incredibly isolated part of Australia, so I guess what they say is there, what actually is there, and presumably there's security, considerable security around the place, so, you know,
I'm sure uranium mines are very similar to military installations. They have to be protected.
But are they actually extracting uranium? Or, I mean, locally, we've got what they claim were lead mines. They're all obsolete now. You know, they were extracting lead ore. And I've looked into it, and the whole thing was I believe the whole, an awful lot of mining is a complete scam, just pushing up the share price and, you know, ripping off investors with share issues and, you know.
Well, in Canada, we had a big scandal called BREX. Did you ever hear of that?
Never, no. No.
BREX, BRE-X. That was the name of the company, and it turned out it was a huge Canadian success story that was completely based on a myth, and real money was lost by people I know, but there was no mine.
That's exactly what's happened around here with numerous lead mines, but there were actually workings. You know, there are actually the evidence of tailings, you know, big tailings or small tailings piles, and all I can figure is they were just extracting roadstone, you know, quarrying just stone for throwing on the highways. So there was no evidence of any.
There was actually a recent. If you go to listen to Fetzer, remember we talk about Fetzer? Jim Fetzer. He actually had an interview with somebody who was investigating mining scams. And you should actually listen to it. As much as Fetzer is on our disinfo list, he does have some pretty interesting interviews. Whether they be shills or not, I don't even know. But this guy was just explaining how mining was a complete money laundering system in many cases.
Definitely, yeah. The personal interest for me, because for a family of involved in mining. Yeah, so.
Well, you should look it up. Go to radiofetzer.blogspot.com and go look up one of his last shows in the last week or two. There's two gentlemen that were on in the last half of the show. It was quite interesting. And they were just explaining it's just part of a huge money laundering racket. And there's two exchanges where there isn't a lot of due diligence checking the companies. One of them is in Toronto, the Toronto Venture Exchange, which is basically just a casino. And another one might be, I think there might be a venture-type exchange in London as well. I can't remember what the name of it was, but
I know.
Anyone who invests at the
AIM market. AIM, yeah.
Right. It's basically a casino because there's just no verification of the companies.
Definitely. I was looking at it historically around here, and the quite senior figures were involved. The politician, the local MP, was involved.
You've got to listen to this show because he did talk about that.
I can't see it here. Well, how long ago? Months or weeks?
Well,
or?
Tell me the names. It was in the last 2 weeks. Just give me the names of some of the shows, and I'll tell you what.
Chris Everard, Sandy Hook, Nick Colostrom, George Lees, that one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Dennis Cimino, would it be? Gordon Bowen. It says on there MH17, though.
But that's the one. He has three different segments. It's the last segment with the two, Gordon name?
Gordon Bowen and Dennis Cimino. C-I-M-I-N-O?
Dennis Camino does his own segment, and Gordon Bowen does his own segment.
Oh, I see.
It's really worth a listen. It's worth a listen because I've never really heard about mining and money laundering being together. But in Canada, we're very sensitive to mining scams because I personally know one of the biggest brokerages in Canada was the underwriter for BRIEX, and they lost lots of money for their investors. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots and lots.
Yeah, I can believe it. It needs writing up locally around here because there's loads of dreadful, I won't call them history books, but the study of local mining around here in the West Midlands is just pap. You know, from studying it in North America, the gold mining, you can always tell the extent of a mine by the amount of tailings, the amount of workings above ground. And these mines down here are supposedly one of the richest sources of lead in the world. You know, at the height of the British Empire, this supposedly most of the lead was coming from this area, and the tailing piles for these mines are trivial, the sort of thing like a couple of men could produce in a couple of weeks, you know, yet they were supposedly the richest source of lead in the world. But so there was no lead. It was all about share issues, ripping people off, getting investors in there, and the money involved locally was like, you know, £30 million share issues in it doesn't sound much, but multiplied up to numerous mines all over the place. They supposedly hit another load of lead ore and everything, and you're talking billions in a relatively small area. So, and it involved.
Isn't it sad? Well, everything can be corrupted, but isn't it sad that mining is probably one of the easier ones to pull off a scam because unless there's a trusted third party or government overseeing the mine, there's just no way for the average person to verify the product at all.
No. And there's no evidence of any. I mean, if I'm looking at a mine, say a lead mine, I would expect there to be quite significant workings, and you're not going to ship the. They claim they ship the ore out to somewhere else to be milled and everything else. Of course you don't do that. You'd mill it as close to as possible to the mine itself, just because the cost of transportation would be so huge. Shipping loads of ore all across the country is not something you do. You'd smelt it, or whatever you do with lead ore, and you'd smelt it on site, or as close to the energy sources you could possibly find to create
the heat. Yeah, but I think, I think that a lot of the raw material, almost everything raw material is going to China, and they do all the processing. I think they do most of the world's steel now.
Do they? What about the iron ore, though? Surely that's done as close. Or maybe they've got their own.
I think they float all the raw material over there. It's still cheaper with all the transportation.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is the one to download anyway. That Nick Collerstrom is a real, what's the word? He used to write for The Guardian. And he was, if it's the same fellow I'm thinking of, it was a Guardian journalist.
Yeah.
And he seeded the initial eyewitness account for the London bombings, bomb hoaxes, I should say, through the July 7th bombings. I'm Nick Collerstrom. I'm here at so-and-so tube station in London. And there's bodies everywhere, blood everywhere, et cetera, et cetera. He seeded that initial...
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
Is that right, eh?
So okay. why would Fetzer want him on the show? I mean, he's kind of like, his cover was blown from day one, really, but anyway.
I didn't know that, but I don't really take many of his guests too seriously now, but some of them are entertaining. And yeah, Nick is, I'm not sure what Nick's actual position is on 7-7, because I kind of block it out when I'm listening. I sort of skipped over him.
Uh-huh.
But,
that's the one to download, though. Nick Collerstrom and George Lees, Gordon Bowen, and Dennis Cimino. That's the one, is it?
Yeah, there's three segments. So I think it's the last segment with Gordon Bowen. Yeah, listen to it and let me know what you think about it, because you're probably far more up on mining than I am.
Not at all. No, it's totally personal interest and nothing. You know, my family were involved in mining a long time ago, you know. Turn of the last century, as it were, and it's always been a curiosity, but I've got no personal experience of it, but, you know, it's something interesting in it. Yeah.
Well, it's just another real great opportunity to scam people out of their money.
There's a pay... I downloaded one, amazingly, actually, one of the US states mining department of, say, state of Arizona or somewhere or other, had produced a list of all the scans that they'd detected in their particular, on their patch, as it were, and they were amazingly, open about it, and, you know, frank with how the scans worked with things like, what do they call it, salting, you know, when they do assaying, when they take some ore out, and then they supposedly measure how much gold is in that ore sample, and then they can multiply up and say what the reserves would be in the mine and everything else. And apparently it's really common for people to deliberately hello?
Yeah.
Did somebody just join us then? No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just playing with my Bluetooth.
Okay, yeah. But okay, I'll listen to that. I should enjoy, there's 24 comments as well, so I'll have to read through all those as well.
Yeah, are any of them about the mining? Because there were three different guests, so it might be confusing. They have a lot of different topics on that particular show.
No, not one person mentions it. Are you sure it's that one?
Yeah.
This is completely undiscussed.
While I'm on the air.
Yeah.
There's three segments. Go to the last third of the show. I believe they're at the last third.
Okay, I'll have a look. Hang on a minute. So many files open, I can't see what I'm doing. Okay, there's that audio chat that we downloaded, converted. So, looking for Fetzer now. There he is. There's Fetzer. Real deal, MH17 and Iraq updates. It's got very good quality in it, isn't it? What's he recording it at? 64 kilobits. 24. Sample rate, 24,000. Hertz and
are you talking about? His audio or?
Yeah, it's very good quality. 64 kilobit. Sample bit rate.
His is 64 kilobit?
Yeah, Fetzer is, yeah.
Well, that's because he plays music. When you're playing music, you should boost it to 64.
Yeah.
But if you're not playing music, you don't need it, I'm sure of it.
No. Okay, let me zoom through this.
Yeah, he plays the Beatles in between his breaks over and over again, incessantly.
Does he? I don't know what it was. I guess it was Simon and Co. just warning people off him, but he never really appealed anyway much. He was kind of like an establishment academic who just tinkered around the edges, really. There was, you know, they seemed to just...
Nobody talked more about 9/11 and JFK on the radio than he does. That's the only reason I listen to him, because those are my primary interests. So even if he's disinformation, I still listen to the guest and try and separate the wheat from the chaff, really. I'm just sure. that's the challenge.
Uh-huh. What's his name's in Canada, isn't he? Chosudovsky, Michel Chosudovsky. Is he on your...
Who is it?
Professor Michel Michael Chosudovsky.
Never heard of him.
Really? He's done quite a few 9/11 now, you know. Kind of I won't say he's a hoaxer, but he's certainly off the MICHEL. He's got a University of... Where is he now? A university professor. And he,
I never heard of him. Send me a link.
There he is. He's actually... Somebody said to me, where is he from? University of Ottawa. There we are. Professor of Economics. Emeritus professor now. But he was 9/11 when he's been banging on about, what should I say, alternative theories for a long time, but none of them are very close to the truth. Globalization research is what his expertise supposedly is. The Center for Research on Globalization in Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's globalresearch.ca, I think, right?
That's it, yeah. But he's gone off. Not much cop then. He's British, that fella is. Or his accent certainly is British, so... There you are, educated at the University of Manchester. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get back to Fetzer. Where are we? Somewhere in there, then.
The last third. You should get two guys talking to each other. I think it's the last third.
Thank you.
might have been the United Kingdom, that are linked to Mossad, MI6, and the CIA, and most of them are controlled by those people. At least in the very rooms that are filled with jewels, linked to 50 Lothian Road, one Park Row in Leeds, 788, 790 Finchley Road, and its 20 interconnected Finchley Road addresses. Margaret Thatcher started her political career based upon her husband's family. Women were also in a position to run for MP of Finchley. And that was a... I'm not anti-Semitic. I have no hatred of any race, color, or creed.
That's the one. Those are the guys.
Weapon, of course. The CIA and the Mossad were complicit with the American neocons to bring us 9/11.
The guy.
Position of the Crown as a form of response to, you know, deflect what Frank had
in the $6 million, and they've been allowed to get away with this because they've done a few million to very influential members of Parliament. Members of the House of Lords, Australian dignitaries and ex-Prime Ministers, and the American dignitaries that we talked about.
And that's why this covers very important
country on the globe. The SA-11 missile system, or whatever, the generic, you know, shoot down machinery that's been out there for a lot of different versions of those.
Can you hear me, Abel?
I can, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, those are the guys. Those are the guys. Make sure you listen to that and let me know what you think.
Okay, I will. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. You'll be interested if you're interested in mining, because it's quite a... I don't know if any of it is true, but
no.
It's a very interesting tale, let's put it that way.
So start from the beginning of those two, Gordon and George, talking to each other.
Yeah, they have one segment on the show.
Okay. Are they regulars on there then, are they? Or just
I've never heard of them. No, I've never heard of them before.
No. Perhaps I'll Google them, have a look into them first. Yeah, that going back to that mine, though, that so-called uranium mine, Kay Hamad was saying that the actual volume of uranium ore that you get out of it is minuscule compared to the tonnage of ore, and therefore it was understandable that the mine was so vast, even though it would only be producing... you know, nuclear material for medicine and other, you know, non-power generation and such like, but I don't know.
Well, it's very suspicious now that you mention it. I'm going to have to look into it now. I'm sure we have similar things in Canada.
The scale of this one was the interesting thing. There's even an airport nearby, supposedly, Jabiru Airport. Let me try and find a way of, how do you get a link out of Bing? I don't know how you get a web link out of it.
Well, there's usually some icon to get a link to the map.
Yeah. Can't see one, but where are we? Yeah. So maybe that they don't compare very well. That was the odd thing. When I compared Google Map of that so-called uranium mine and then Bing Maps, they seem to... I mean, I can appreciate you take different angles and stuff, but they didn't seem to... overlay each other properly. They seem to be different.
So
shapes.
Maybe they're both different creations of map making software. Maybe they're completely fallacious, the map.
I did wonder. Yeah, I did.
I would say the overviews are of important places are completely false.
Exactly. I looked at a very powerful family locally. I don't know if you've heard of the Battle of the Boyne, when the King James II was defeated by William of Orange, and then that pretty much introduced the Venetian Empire from Holland into Britain. Well, the family who fought in that battle, the Battle of the Boyne, Lord Boyne, their estate from the sky looked very, very different to what it looks like when you visit on the ground. So I was thinking, you could even tell that something had been overlaid on the map. You know, when you come across where you can see there's a clear delineating line across Google Maps where it looks like somebody stuck something over the top of it with different light levels and everything else. So, yeah, there's all sorts of funny going, or it seems there is, you know, with Google and Google mapping. And yeah.
I agree. I'm sure you're absolutely right. I'm sure certain places are deliberately obfuscated or completely altered to throw people off.
There was a very weird psyop maybe back in the 2004 or 5, and it was supposedly some, two young children had been gorily murdered in England, and their bodies set on fire right next to an American airbase. And everybody said, like, how could you do that? The whole place is bristling with video cameras all the way around it. How could anybody set fire to two young children's bodies next to the... Why would you do that? Assume you've actually murdered somebody's children. Why would you burn them next to the American airbase with 15,000 US service personnel walking around, you know, walking around the perimeter fences and cameras? So over 60 cameras around the base, you know, around the perimeter of it. Anyway, the insinuation that was that the American servicemen had actually carried out this apparent killing of two children. It's called the Holly and Jessica case. Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman, two little girls wearing red Manchester United jerseys. Anyway, they supposedly framed this useful idiot. You know, it's just the school caretaker called Ian Huntley. And this story went on and on and on. Anyway, I looked at the Google maps for the area, and I thought, where was this supposedly? Where were these bodies supposedly incinerated and, you know, disposed of? And the mapping was literally not available. There was an area right over the US air bases where Google Maps said no data available or something, just the same as it does when you can't.
Yeah, I would say everything around any military base would be obscured. So that makes sense.
It came back, though, afterwards. You know, after the PSYOP had kind of burnt itself out, the imaging for the airbase actually reappeared again on Google Mapping. You know, I'd previously looked at it anyway and was aware of it was there, and people had commented that you can see various aircraft on the runway and such like, and then it vanished during the duration of the PSYOP and then reappeared again. But maybe one of those, just one of those quirky things. Anyway,
I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, we think of coincidences.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got to pass out for a minute here. That's one of the beauties of this this chat, because I'm where I'm supposed to be now. But I'll come back in a bit. I'm going to come back in a bit. If you're here, you're here.
Okay.
And anyone else who's listening on the stream and not in the TeamSpeak, Psyopticon is a good person to talk to. So join into TeamSpeak and talk to Psyopticon. You're very good. I had a couple people already say that they would like to hear you do some kind of regular show.
Oh, no, I'm not someone for that. I haven't really got the voice for it. You've got a nice delivery
for radio. No, you do have a good voice, actually. Au contraire.
Really? I always think I'm like, I wish I was a baritone or something. I'm kind of like, feel I've been, you know.
No, you do have a very good voice, actually. Actually, you do.
Well, it's nice of you to say so, but...
No, I'm not the only one to say so.
Okay. Oh, well.
No, you come across very well. You carry a good conversation, so I'll be back in a bit.
Okay.
I'm going to check out this my recording. I'm going to check out my recording and see if it worked.
Right.
And you can check yours, of course, and verify it worked. And try and marry the two segments together. It's pretty easy in Audacity.
Right.
But I'll be back. Nice chatting with you at this time.
Okay, good stuff. Take it easy.
All right, I'll talk to you. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
User disconnected from your channel.